All right, our reading will be taken from Luke chapter 15, starting at verse number 25. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years, I have been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him?' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'"
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Put your device down, turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye. And say, neighbor,
there is value
in celebrating God
blessing others.
Neighbor,
there is value
in celebrating God
blessing others.
Amen. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We have entitled our message this morning, "There is value in celebrating."
Thank you, Jesus.
God.
Yes.
Blessing others.
Yes.
Last week, we preached about the prodigal son from verses 11 through 24. Because there we learned my heavenly Father sees my value. And as we look here at this, as the father went running to meet his son, who was covered in mud, smelling like pigs, the other son was already in the field working, was unaware of what had taken place. And now as he comes back from the field, from doing hard work, being committed to doing as his father had instructed, when the brother gets close to the house, something ain't right, Rem Clark. Because there's music in the house. There's dancing in the house. I truly believe the son knew something was up. You see, Reverend Rose, I believe he knew something was up because he would not even step foot in the house. He called for one of the servants to come to him, but he would not go in the house. And when the servant came to him and told him what his father had done, Because your brother has come home. We see at this point, this man is brooding. He's angry. He's frustrated. Because it seems as though his father ain't never thrown him a party. His father ain't killed a fattened calf for him. His father hadn't done none of these things. And when his father recognized what is going on, and he goes out to his son, finds him sitting outside with his arms folded, mad and frustrated, leaning up against a tree. Again, I'm using my spiritual imagination. You're working with me. And the father comes to the son. And as the father is walking to the son, I want you to know, Reverend Hearn, and I can see the son looking at the father and just shaking his head. Like, how in the world can you be having a party for a sorry individual as him? Now, why am I saying this? Because the scripture makes it very clear. Because the scripture specifically says that the father pleaded with the son to come in the house. Every other time prior to this, whenever the son came out the field, the son always came into the house. But the son was believing that there was something in the house that didn't belong there. And until that which is in there, if it's not removed, I ain't going in, because that does not belong there. Because if he was a son that loved you the way I loved you, he never would have left. If he was a son that loved you the way I loved you, he would have been working and not trying to get his inheritance so that he can leave. You know, you see, Daddy, you don't realize something. He had already told me all the stuff he wanted to do. He told me about where he wanted to go. He told me all the things he wanted to experience. And guess what? You gave him the money. He left it. He blew everything. And now he's back because he ain't got nothing. How dare you, Daddy, take this individual back. This individual, now I'm not making this up, is right here in scripture. This individual who had devoured your property with prostitutes. Am I making this up? Where is it at? You know what's interesting? Is that up until this time, we just know he had done some riotous living or dissolute living. But the son called him out and said what he was doing. Do you see it? And the one thing that we have to understand is that he said to his father in verse number 30, this son of yours, not my brother, but your son. I want to disassociate myself with him. Why does he want to disassociate himself with him? He said, because as we go back and we see the verses just above that, he said, Daddy, you know what? I've always done what you wanted me to do. He said, I work like a slave. Am I making it up? For you. And since I'm doing all this hard work for you, I never disobeyed you. But this sorry individual, you want to celebrate with a fatted calf. You ain't even give me a goat to go celebrate with my friend. But this dude, who is now back, you took him while he was dirty. You cleaned him up. And y'all are in there, hey! Hallelujah! But there are some things the son did not hear. There are some things that the slave told him that he did not hear. Because in verse 27, at the end of verse 27, he says, because he got him back safe and sound. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay with us. I think the older brother might have been more satisfied if they had got word that his younger brother was found dead somewhere. Sound rather harsh, don't it? But guess what? He didn't hear safe and sound. He would have probably would have preferred to found him dead by the side of a curb. Because his view was he got just what? What about the people of God's house, in God's house today? How many of us are looking at folk when they come to give their lives to Christ? And when we look at them and we know their history, and we say, I don't care what they do. They can throw them down in that water. They can hold them down for a minute or two. You know, they can anoint them with oil. I don't care. This person ain't worth 2 cents. They wasn't worth 2 cents, and they ain't going to ever be worth 2 cents. You see, but truth be told, I want you to understand something. Ain't none of us in here worth a penny. But it's all because God sees all of us as being priceless. And since you and I are priceless, that means that Jesus had to come and pay the ultimate price in order to get us back. And since he paid the ultimate price to get us back, who are you to look at somebody else and say that they are undeserving of the blessings of God? Why can't you celebrate what God is doing in the life of somebody else? Why can't you celebrate and praise God for how he turned folks' lives around? Why is it that we got to draw out the negative rather than praise God for the positive? Because we here at Broad Rock, I'm so thankful that we have the concept of knowing that we are to make it happen. We will not focus on the obstacles, but on the what? So any opportunity we got to go on and give God the glory, the honor, and the praise, we gonna do it. Because we understand that life in itself creates enough obstacles for us. And for us to be fighting in the house ain't gonna let us be able to be effective when we leave the house. And could you imagine that this son would not step foot in the house where he had been blessed, all because he felt that there was one in the house now that didn't deserve to be in there because he ought not to be blessed. How dare he come back? Because he blew everything that you gave him. And he did not have any sincerity in how he lived. He was living a life that was selfish. But I want you to understand, the oldest brother here, I want you to know, Deacon Booth, he was just as selfish as the younger one. He was in the house of the Davids, but he was selfish. He didn't want to see his younger brother life be changed. He didn't want his younger brother to come home safe and sound. He didn't want his younger brother to realize that God can still love him. He wanted to say, God, I want to keep you all to myself because I want to be selfish. If you are a child of God, the one thing you ought not to be is. Because if you are selfish, you're unable to relate to others. You're unable to see their pains and their hurts. You're unable to see the struggles they're going through. And you don't care because you are. If I get what I need and that's all that matters, then I'm going to get what I need and I'm leaving because I got just what I wanted. You see, we are seeing selfish from two perspectives. We're seeing one selfish who had to leave home. We're seeing one who was selfish and he stayed home. So both of the brothers were so caught up in the me, they could not understand that there is a we. How many folk come to church with the attitude of folded arms and leaning against a tree and saying, I might be in the house, But I can't celebrate in this house because there's some folk in here who don't have a who shouldn't be up in here celebrating. There are some folk in here who are so full of hell in their life that they shouldn't be up in this place. And I don't want to go on and start praising God while they're in this place because I don't want what's on them to jump on me. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, if this is our daddy's house, if this is a house of healing, if this is a house of deliverance, if this is a house of change, if this is a house where we can get our breakthrough, if this is the house where we can learn to see, if this is the house we've been found in, how in the world are you going to ever think it's nothing but a blessing in God's house? Don't you know that coming to God's house, it is a what? Blessing. Do I got any folk that have been blessed by being in God's house? And I don't care who is in God's house with me, I'm going to praise my God because I know my God is blessing me and he's blessing me right now. I don't care how you look at me. I don't care how you talk about me. I might have some issues. I might have some struggles, but that's all right. I'm going to praise God because I know I wouldn't be here without him because I once was lost, but now I am found and I am now home and I am safe and sound. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand I serve a mighty good God? I ain't going to let nobody stop me from praising him. Because where would I be if I didn't have Jesus? You see, my brothers and sisters, there's value in celebrating God blessing others. You see, what we forget, Mother Austin, is that we were at one time an other. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Yeah, I was an other. All of us in here was an other. But we ain't others no more. So when you came forward and gave your life to Christ, didn't folks celebrate and praise God for the other who was us when we came forward? But now that we have arrived, I'm so filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm so anointed that there's such a glow about me that I can't let you get too close and touch me because I don't want your stained hands to touch something this holy. Really? Really? What Jesus is identifying in this story is that there are selfish people. And if we can go deeper, some say that as you go deeper and you look in this, the younger son represents the Gentiles who in so many ways wanted what they wanted because they were selfish and they didn't really make an attempt to connect to God. But what they realized is that being out there was kicking their butt. And when they had nowhere else to turn, they had to do nothing but turn back to the one who breathed the breath of life in them. Others say that the elder son is a representative of the Pharisees. Those that figured they were all out of bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side, which means that whatever they get, they're supposed to get, and everything that comes supposed to come to them, and it's not supposed to go to nobody else. So what we are seeing is that there's a whole bunch of selfish people that Jesus here is talking about. And what I'm saying to you today, my brothers and my sisters, if you're selfish, it's time to become selfless. Because you understand that as long as you are selfish, you can't allow the Lord to work in you, through you, and around you because it's all about you and nobody else. But when you become selfless, you realize that what you are involved in is bigger than you. And you understand that the Lord could have left you out there and he could have left you out there toe up from the flow up. He could have left you out there where everything out there was tearing you up, chewing you up, and would have spit you out. But I'm thanking my God that he looked beyond our faults and he saw our needs. Isn't that why Jesus came? Jesus didn't come to be selfish. Jesus came to be selfless. Jesus came to serve us. Jesus came to make a way for us, to let us know how the Father wants us to live our lives in a manner which is pleasing to him. But in order to start living right, you got to get right with the Father, and you only can get right with the Father when you come through the Son. And once you come through the Son, you realize that the Lord didn't have to do what he did for you. But why did he do it? Because he loved you. And since he loved you, what did he give? His all. And since he gave his all, why? Because he's selfless. And since he was selfless, you and I now have an opportunity to be here in the house and not on the outside of the house. That's why we got to praise him, thank him, and magnify his holy name. And once we get it right in the house, we go outside the house and let other folk know it's time for them to come in the house. Because it's not, because guess what? There's plenty of good room, what? In the house. I don't care if the house is packed, there's still room for one more. I don't care how, if the walls are bulging, there's still room for one more. If we make it our will to do the will of the Father will make sure there will be plenty good room. So if one house gets packed, guess what? The Father will build another. But what I'm saying to you today, my brothers and my sisters, how many selfless folk we got in God's house today? How many folk understand that it's not about you, but it's all about the Lord? How many folk understand that you're only able to do what you do is because the Father has blessed you through the Son? How many folk understand that I don't care how messed up you are, didn't the Father take you back in? And since he took you back in, did he sit there and rub your face in the mud? Did he keep calling up all the stuff you've done wrong? Did he keep reminding you about your shortcomings? Did he keep looking at you and say, I look at you now, but I remember when you was a certain way. But I am so glad that our Heavenly Father removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. I will not allow you to degrade what God has done in me. I will not allow you to make me feel embarrassed about how far the Lord has brought me. And do I have anybody in God's house who understand the Lord has brought you a mighty long way? The Lord has turned your life around. The Lord has done something with a nothing. The Lord has done the impossible with you. Other folk threw the towel in on you a long time ago. But I'm here to tell you, didn't the Lord come and get you while you were a other? And now that you ain't a other, I want you to know that you got to start praising God and celebrating God, blessing other folk. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you understand how to praise God when he is blessing others, you understand the value of your own relationship. When you understand your own relationship, you can praise God while he's working in the lives of others. Guess what? Can I let you in on a secret? God don't have to ask you to bless somebody else. He ain't gonna ask you nothing. And guess what? I don't know about you, but I'm so glad he ain't asked nobody before he blessed me. Because if he had to ask some folk, they'd be like, don't you dare bless him. He had to ask some folk, they might have said, well, give him one or two. And then there might have been a few said, go on, Lord, bless him the way you bless me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, that's why there's value in celebrating God blessing others. You know what the value is? It just calls you to be reminded on how far the Lord has brought you. You see, Sister Penn, they might mess with us because we get a little loud and we go on and praise him. But they just don't know how far the Lord has brought us. They don't know how far the Lord is taking us. So that's how come whenever I see the Lord blessing in this place, I might not be the one getting the blessing right now, but I'm going to praise God when I see him blessing somebody else. Because I know I am blessed and highly favored, And whatever I need, my Heavenly Father will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Do I got any folk that don't mind praising God and celebrating God, blessing others? Because I am not just stuck on myself. I'm stuck on praising the Lord, because He stuck to me when everybody else wanted to throw me away. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand how good our God is, where He brought you from, what He's doing in you right now? I tell you, there is value in celebrating God, blessing others. Somebody ought to say thank you. You know, the one thing, I'm just about done. The one thing that we have to remember. In verse 31, then it says, then the Father said to him, Son, you're always with me. And all that is mine is yours. It's yours. But this is what he said. But we had to celebrate. Do you see this? We had to celebrate and rejoice. Why? Because this brother of yours, see how he put that in there, right? Was what? Dead. And has come to what? He was lost and he has been
found. Thank you, Lord.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I have to celebrate and rejoice. So when somebody ever come up to you in God's house again and tell you it don't take all that, you tell them to talk to the hand. It takes all that and then some. Because you just don't know how good our God is. And I want you to know, I don't want my praise to stop at the ceiling. I want my praise to reach up to heaven. Because I know that when my praises reach up to the Father's going to pour down the blessings on my life. And I want you to understand, if you want to just give God a ceiling praise, you just stay in your seat right now. But if you want to give God some praise that's going to reach up to heaven, you ought to rise to your feet and give God the praise, because God inhabits the praises of His people, and His people ought to be willing to praise Him, because our God is a mighty good God. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand how good our God is? And every time I praise God, it ain't for what God is doing for me. It's what I see God doing around me and how God is blessing others. Anybody mind praising God for how He's blessing somebody else? Because I understand there's value in celebrating God blessing others. You don't have to sit back down. We're getting ready to shut it down right now. You see, my brothers and sisters, we saw a selfish youngest son. We saw a selfish older brother. But in the midst of all that selfishness, we saw a father who was selfless. It says he was pleading. Did you see that? He was pleading with the elder son. And then he said to him, don't you realize everything I have is yours? My brothers and sisters in Christ, what our Father has is yours.
Yes, God.
To get you through each and every day. So since the Lord is getting us through one day to the next, but when I come to church, I ain't got time to praise Him. I'm just showing up because this is what I want to do. The oldest son was so focused on the work, he forgot who he was working for. What am I saying to you? God loves us being hard workers. But what are you working for? Are you working for recognition? Are you working for everybody to say, oh boy, he or she's such a hard worker? Or are you working to send up your temper? Are you working to glorify God? And looking forward to the day, Chester, when he will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm working for. I ain't trying to impress nobody. I'm just doing as I've been instructed. Because I know that I want to hear those words, but I know those words are coming because God is still blessing me for doing as I am instructed. So I haven't lost sight for why I am working.